John 20, verse 24 to 31. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Happy Easter. My name's Stu. I'm one of the pastors here at Southern Cross. But to kick things off this morning, I've got a riddle for you. Here goes. It's something that all major religions agree on. All beliefs take you there. All philosophy bows before it. All arguments end there. Con men can't con it. Thieves can't nick it. Bullies can't scare it. Magicians can't trick it. Boxers can't punch it. Nor critics dismiss it. Don't knows can't know it. The lazy can't miss it. Governments can't ban it. Or armies defuse it. Judges can't jail it. Lawyers can't sue it. Scientists can't quell, nor can they disprove it. Doctors can't cure it. Surgeons can't remove it. Einstein can't halve it. People can't free it. What do you think? The thing about death is we're all gonna be it. The hope of Easter, though, says that Jesus has beaten death. Believable? Don't know. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to help us this morning so that we might stop doubting, but to believe in your Son's death and resurrection for us, so that we might know true life, the life that we were created for. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, at my high school reunion a couple of years back in Queensland, I went through all the standard kind of feelings and all the standard cliches. Oh, you haven't changed a bit. The years haven't been kind to you. Though, of course, not always to their faces. But there was one person I could not believe. And he knew it when I saw him. I expected to see the guy that I went to high school with, a quiet, timish, fun kind of guy, but he had a physique as lacking as mine. So if you put us both together, we probably wouldn't even make it into the healthy weight range. So there I am, standing before him, doubting this whole thing to be true. My eyes are bulging, my jaw is dropping, the saliva's coming out. He effectively has to put the chin up, and the only way he could stop me doubting and believe was when he spoke. "G'day, Stu. It's me." Today, we look at the closing events in the biography of Jesus' life, from a guy called John, and we see the most unbelievable meeting in a reunion of sorts, as one of Jesus' mates, Tom, comes face to face with the resurrected Jesus. And the only thing that can break Tom out of this trance is when Jesus speaks to him and he says, "Stop doubting and believe." But Doubting Thomas, as we know him, he must be one of the most helpful blokes in the Bible. Why? Because he's so believable to our modern scientific minds. Because to be honest, Surely one of the things that confirms Christianity to the pages of fairy tale books alongside this fella is the Easter message, isn't it? The first Easter, where this Jewish itinerant preacher is crucified in the back blocks of the Roman Empire to then amazingly rise from the dead. Thomas gets it right for us modern people. He says, pull the other one. You've got to be joking. Sorry, are you kidding? And I expect there's going to be some of us here today that have said exactly those words. And if you haven't said it, you've definitely thought it about the message of the first Easter. So you'd be pleased to know that Thomas is right there with you. He's on your side saying, so did you just say that Jesus rose from the dead? He's right there with you, helping to give you the directions for these friends of ours to the loony bin, because that's where they belong. Yet as Thomas is there crying out, pull the other one, Jesus says, push your hands here where the nails were driven. And another one, push here on my side where the spear was plunged. And so we find we have a trembling Thomas, and all he can say is, my Lord and my God. Earlier this year in Darwin came the story of three little pigs, but this one was no fairy tale, where local police tried to detain three piglets, but were unable to stop the little porkers. On this territory tour, our three escapees were spotted down the main street, the local golf club, and even swinging by Macca's. But listen to how police explained this embarrassing event. Pig chasing was not a topic taught at police college, as has become obvious this afternoon, said Senior Sergeant Gary Smith at the height of the chase. But sadly, it was no happily ever after for these little fellas, as the little pigs didn't make it home, but were killed by the authorities. In the closing pages that we're looking at here of John's Gospel, we hear something even more far-fetched. A Jewish man killed by the authorities, but rises after 3 days. But this guy lives happily ever after. But Thomas, he's not into playing childish games. He sets his deluded friends straight, who say, we've seen the Lord. He bursts their bubble. Have a look in verse 25 of chapter 20. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. What Thomas is saying is, dead things don't rise again. Dead little pigs don't get up and don't roam around the streets of Darwin. And he says to them, he says, look, boys, I'm just as distraught as you guys are. Jesus was a friend of mine. But you know what? I'm not going to see him playing 18 holes at the golf course. I'm not going to see him down at Macca's having a Big Mac. I'm just as distraught as you are. But believing that Jesus is alive is a thing that fairy tales have made of. And in for a whole week, verse 26, Thomas is sleeping easy while all his mates are still dreaming. Dreaming about their good buddy Jesus, who they say has dug himself out from being 6 feet under, who was dead but now somehow is alive. But in verse 27, it's Thomas who is pinching himself, thinking himself dreaming, as Jesus speaks to him. Verse 27, then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Here Jesus puts his money where his mouth is. As he says to Thomas, stop doubting and believe. He says those words, but then he shows his mate his war wounds. And we're not talking about some tag marks from a game of rugby or a bruise from a short delivery in cricket a week ago. These are the wounds of the one who was slaughtered. The wounds of one who was pierced a week ago for our sin. So this vision before Thomas, this picture, this posture, just blinds him. All the doubts, all the questions, all the myths, totally busted here by belief. Verse 28, Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." From doubting Thomas to devoted Thomas. From skeptic to service. So I don't know about you, but I reckon history has been a bit unfair to Tom. You know, to be called, to be known for forever and a day as doubting Thomas just because you wanted some proof, don't you reckon that seems a bit harsh? I mean, shouldn't he be called CSI Thomas? Yeah, you know, something like that. You know, but the thing is, Thomas isn't the only CSI guy around the time. The guy who penned this, who wrote the book, John tells us he had more purpose behind writing than just getting his mate Tom in the Cambridge Dictionary as doubting Thomas. Have a look at verse 31. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John says, look, I wrote this so you don't have to do the whole Thomas thing, because the proof is here for you to see, so you can stop the doubts and believe. But get this, more than that, so that you can live. So you can live the true message of Easter. So that you can live forever because Jesus died your debt on Good Friday. So that you can live a life restored with the God who made this world and sustains this world and gives us breath. So that we can live a life guilt-free. So the things, the words and actions we've done that rack us can be released. So that we can live a life of forgiveness and actually direct that to others and not hold lifelong grudges. That we can actually live this life that we were meant to live. See, I hope this Easter you might be willing to walk in Thomas's shoes. You know, doubting until there's proof. Yet today standing with him before his God as he moves from doubt to devotion. And I wonder if you'd take John's challenge to read his biography and to read it and see that this life he describes can actually become a reality for you. Today we join Thomas at the first Easter, where we've taken a journey from doubt to devotion, where he went from thinking about the resurrection as some fairy tale to thinking about it as fact, as some great lie to a great life, knowing his king is resurrected and now ruling. Where Thomas believed the words that Jesus had spoken in his life, that for those who trust in this king that died and rose again, no longer doubting that his promise of life forever is true. Do you think that is unbelievable? Do you remember my skinny, shy, timid friend? Well, if I couldn't believe my eyes in the man that stood before me at my high school reunion, well, what I discovered this week about him is the thing of fairy tales. Because I found it hard to believe this man mountain before me was him. Well, then I read this about him in an American newspaper this week. It's simply laughable. The article describes this self-made man, a graduate in business management and now owner of Myol International Business Consulting. In the article, it describes marrying his American sweetheart only to honeymoon at, wait for it, the Greek islands. Are you for real? I reckon if I sat down with this guy in year 12 and told him this is his future, he would have laughed. Come on, Stu, stop joking around. That's the thing of fairy tales. And it's the same kind of laugh that Thomas had when he sat down with his friends and they said, Jesus is alive. You see, I wonder if you're still laughing when you hear the message of Easter Sunday that Jesus rose again. Can I encourage you to take the CSI challenge to read an account of Jesus' life? This one is written by one of Jesus' friends called Luke. There's a couple of copies on the Connect table. So can I urge you to do that, particularly if you're a modern person and you need some proof? Surely it is worth reading about the life of a man who has transformed more lives in human history than any other. Tim Mander was one Aussie bloke who took on the CSI challenge. For 14 years, he was a National Rugby League referee, even winning the award of International Referee of the Year before entering into politics in 2012. But his story in the shoes of Doubting Thomas came when a friend of his became a Christian. And so he took the CSI style challenge to get, but this one, not to get proof on it. What Tim wanted to do is he wanted to get some opportunities to have some good laughs so that he can get stuck into his mate. But you see, the thing is, it was his mate who had the last laugh, or at least was the one who could join the celebration. You see, Tim joined him in this move from doubt to devotion. As Tim read through an account of Jesus' life, he was so convinced in the pages of the New Testament that he confessed Christ as his King. You see, doubting Tim came to believe that Jesus Christ died the death that he deserved for his lifelong rejection of the God who made his life and sustains his life. He believed that he actually rose victorious, beating death, and now Tim says that he truly lives. Today we've joined Doubting Thomas as he questioned the reality of that first Easter. Yet Jesus speaks into his unbelief, revealing the wounds that he bore to bring Thomas true life, to bring Thomas eternal life. And actually to make us an offer of life that actually sounds make-believe. Because Jesus offers us a life free from the debt that we owe God. He gives us a life of fullness, a life of satisfaction that the West just cannot bring. Jesus' life brings a life full, free of guilt, a life free of shame, a life that stands to rise even in the midst of death, because we stand in Jesus' shoes and we stand in the shadow of that cross. Will you pray with me? Let's talk to God. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you that your Son rose again, beating sin and death and offering us true life. We're sorry for the way that we live in unbelief, heaping the message of Easter alongside fairy tales, yet wonder why the message makes so little difference in our life. Please help us to stop the doubts, to truly believe the message of Easter, so that we might know the amazing hope that this new life brings. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.